Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. We missed the last show, but here we are. Finishing off the month of May.
Yeah, that was my fault. I'm sorry. I had some pending business, some clients in and had a...
Clients are more important than, you know, informing the public.
Yeah. Did you have a nice Memorial Day?
It's okay. It was nice. The weather was good.
Did you have a barbecue, cook anything? You always cook something up.
Yeah, I did. I cooked up something, but it wasn't a barbecue. It was chicken.
Chicken.
Yeah, no, a version of No Agenda Chicken I've been playing with... These oversized chicken thighs.
Oh.
That are a little easier to cook because they don't dry out.
Genetically engineered?
I don't know. It's just a big chicken.
They call that a turkey, by the way.
Turkey thighs are huge.
Yeah, I made some, I smoked up some turkey wings and some turkey legs, made a batch
of
chicken.
You posted that on the Twitter.
Oh, I did on the Twitter. Yeah, I did.
Didn't you?
It was a fun day. Yep, I did. Well, let's get a quick update on markets. We had, since the last time we talked, markets were in that, still that consolidation mode. And kind of a little up, a little bit down, and kind of all around. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, S&P, pretty much flat on the year. A little bit up for the S&P, down for the Dow Jones after today. Small caps are up. NASDAQ is up really nicely. And then we had the North Korea on, off, and on again. I think it's on now, right? Am I correct about this?
I think so. Yeah, it's hard to tell, but I would be guessing on. I think it's going to happen, but it's whether it happens when it's supposed to is another issue.
And they,
this is almost making it so it's like a melodrama.
Really? Like the last year hasn't been otherwise?
No. Okay. I mean, well, at least they're consistent.
Yeah. So it looks like we're on again after a brief respite where there was some kind of letter drafted by President Trump, and now it was some kind of threat. We're off, and then we're back on again. We got the pre visit going on, I guess more of a security check. And we have one of the top ex-spies here in the country. And so that's good. That's good news. So everybody's kind of happy about that. And then all of a sudden we get this tension rising about concerns about the lack of the ability of the Italian politicians to form a government. And they do it quite differently there than we do it here. Here was just kind of a simple election and we do our thing.
There. Well, this wasn't there, like, I remember a couple of years ago, there's no government, I believe, in Belgium, and they couldn't form a government in the Netherlands, and they couldn't form a government here and there. Different places couldn't form a government. And they always eventually find a way to do it. Why is the Italian one such a market shaker?
Well, you got Berlusconi back in the mix. That's always...
Well, again, I mean, asking you, you're the one that has to be tracking this, it seems. Why did the Italian situation cause such a ruckus?
I think that...
Are they important? I don't think so. They're not a big player.
The problem is, from what I understand, is that if they, depending on what government forms and how it actually forms, may actually lean towards a side that is looking for a, I don't know what they call it, but a Italy exit. That's what it's called. It'll leave.
That's great. Of course, that's not in Italian.
No.
That's in English. Right. So there's got to be something sketchy about it.
Yeah. So they have a decent sized economy. They have a massive amount. I mean, a massive amount of bonds outstanding, of debt outstanding for the size of the country that they are.
Yeah.
And with, you know, that really plummeted today. I think the yield, I have actually something here that's really interesting.
Doesn't a lot of this stem from the fact that they never priced the lira correctly when they converted to euros?
That was more the drachma.
Remember that?
I thought the drachma was a bigger problem, but it possibly was the lira too. They just pushed everybody in and hoped for the best.
I mean, everything used to be cheap in Italy. You'd go there because everything was cheap. And then when they did this euro switcheroo, everything became expensive.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that there's... The difference here in the United States is that while you have maybe some issues going on in Tennessee, I don't know, pick a state, Wisconsin or Colorado, it's still under the same currency. It was still always under the same currency, and it was still under the same tax code. It was still under the same government, even though there are individual state governments, of course. But there, it's very different, whereas you have all these different countries that acted differently, had different spot currency rates, had all their individual bonds outstanding. And you can't really relate the government bonds of Italy, for example, to the state bonds of New Jersey. It's not the same because they're government-based back bonds. And each of the governments also had a very different spending process. So the whole thing was more of a conglomeration of different countries. And many of them were, had weaknesses, and particularly in their financial and banking sector. So it's really a problem. And, when you have then the government of or the EU coming in and buying all these bonds and propping them up to levels that were just ridiculous compared to where they should be, it just caused a lot of problems. And the banks never really got fixed. They were just kind of papered over. So, each country wants to have their own thing. So they're pushing and pulling the whole time for their own benefit. And on top of that, there was a moral hazard that was really created, I think, by the EU, the ECB buying all the bonds of these countries that maybe were not high quality bonds. And they issue the debt. It's easily bought by the ECB. And therefore, they spend like, drunken elves.
Hmm.
I've never really seen drunken elves, but that was the only thing I could come up with at the moment.
Things come from a nice try.
Thanks. But here's what happened. You have to look at this chart. This is really fascinating and why there's so much concern here. Why the
Italian bond curve.
Yeah, take a look at this. So this is a chart that is going to be available once the show officially launches tonight on DH Unplugged, episode number 409. And you can go down to the button that says Italian bond curve. But look at this. It's really interesting. So what you have here is the blue line, which is the Italian current curve of yields of bonds from, let's say, 1 year or 6 months, maybe all the way. They have 48-year bonds over there. That's another problem. We have 30-year bonds. They have 48-year bonds.
So it's this is what they call the flat bond the yield curve, which is the at least the way I'm seeing it. You can tell me where I'm wrong here, which is supposed to be the worst thing in the world for anybody issuing these things.
Well, the problem here is not that it's flat so much, because there is a curve to it from the lower left to the upper right. Flat would be, kind of flat. But look at that giant spike on the blue, how it went.
Yeah, and then it gets kind of flat from there. But I guess it does have a little bend.
But that's the big issue. You went from 6 months ago, the 2-year maturity was a negative 0.316. So you bought bonds and you lost money on them. That's what happened if you bought bonds 6 months ago on a 2-year maturity. You were guaranteed to lose money. Now you probably say, why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
You had no choice. The government, the ECB was buying all these bonds, trying to push rates negative like they did in Japan, thinking that no one would want to be there and they want to take their money and take it outside of government paper and buy corporate debt and buy stocks and invest in businesses and expand their businesses and all that. So the whole idea here is, let's go negative and let's see how it flies. So far, no good. A month ago, the yield was at negative 0.18 on the 2-year. Now it's at 2.358 plus positive. That is a dramatic move. A 2% move on a 2-year bond in a matter of how long is that? Just 1 month?
Yeah.
So that means the borrowing costs on short-term debt or overnight paper to that degree, when you're borrowing money from the bank to try to expand, I mean, all of a sudden, nobody wants to take money out. The economy is going to freeze up. The losses on these bonds, anybody that bought these 2 years, 6 months ago, probably in the hole for 10 to 15%.
And they're going to remain there, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, those rates were ridiculous. Now the ECB is going to have to come in and try to buy more.
Well, this is an example. We talked about this when they were pulling this stunt.
Yep.
And it's what it was. It was a stunt. So how's anyone going to trust the central banks if they pull something like this and it is the result?
The problem is that if the central banks don't have any kind of control over the outcomes here, because people are freaking out and saying, you know what, this country is not solvent. And a lot of the banks and all that may have owned a lot of the paper. That's why the banks got smushed today. And also probably why there was a roll into the United States paper today. A lot of buying going on. Last month, the yield on the 10-year was 3%, right? Now it's like 2.7. Again, a big move.
Yeah, and I also see the euro to dollar thing is $1.15 now, which is heading in that direction.
Yep.
Heading to one.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, this is a problem. And the big issue is whether or not, you know, if in fact Italy pulls out.
See, the pound is $1.32. I don't think I've ever seen it that low. Have I seen it lower than that? No.
Probably at Brexit.
I'm not even sure. Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
Point is, though, if in fact what the outcome that is being priced in here is that Italy comes in, forms a government, eventually another election that happens, and they eventually form a government. And if that government decides to do the it'll leave thing, now all of a sudden their bonds are no longer going to be backed by the ECB, and therefore they're not as worthwhile to own. Right? So that's what's happening here. Yes, everybody's like, I'm the hell out of this. I'm not waiting. I'm getting out fast. And now the suggestions that the long-awaited financial implosion on the region are starting to come back into the headlines. Matter of fact, George Soros was making a note today that he's out with his short list of targets for Europe. And now you get the contagion concern. Remember something, what happened in Europe during the financial crisis was clearly an issue. I mean, all the banks were doing the same thing, a lot of leverage, et cetera. But it really was, it was started by the collapse of the financials and a collapse of the U.S.-based financials, and it's spread throughout the world. And the question is that going to be a situation we see here? Because we're so intermingled, the banks, the Federal Reserves, central banks, corporations, everybody's so intermingled with all of this.
Yeah, globalism.
Yeah. It's good, it's bad.
Yeah, it cuts two ways.
So that's kind of what's going on, why the Dow dropped about 500 points at the low today. The NASDAQ didn't do as badly. The small caps held up because they're pretty much insulated from that. But the banks were down, I think, close to 3%. Mm. And oil saw a sharp sell-off from the recent highs. Saudi Arabia and Russia are discussing raising OPEC and non-OPEC oil production by about 1 million barrels a day after there was some complaining by the U.S. and President Trump about artificially high prices, which is something we've talked about 100 times.
At least.
You know, crude oil was about 71.75.
Well, they wanted to jerk it up as high as they could for this Labor Day weekend, and they managed to do that.
Memorial Day.
Or, I'm sorry, Memorial Day.
And Labor Day they'll try to do, and they're going to try to do it. I think Saudi Arabia we only came down to about $67, but it was still pretty high compared to where we were.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think they're going to try to keep it at least somewhere around here, but these comments, I mean, there's so much on the long side of the trade right now. And, you know, when you have that many positions, especially on the spec futures, on the long side of a trade, it invariably goes the other way. There's nobody on the other side. So what happens is when they shift hard and everything just rocks the other direction. So crude was down like 4% on Friday. Not that that did anything for gasoline prices.
No.
We're still sitting over $3.
Along the leg.
Yeah.
Well, we're sitting at $4.
Yeah, really? $4 now?
Yeah.
Oh, God. But that shouldn't hurt anybody. I mean, of course, when the prices come down, it's good for retail sales. But when prices go up, it doesn't hurt anything. Doesn't bother the economy. It's a phenomena.
Yeah, it's a weird phenomenon that's bogus.
Exactly. The VIX moved sharply higher today on the heels of the news of Italy, back above 17. And as I mentioned, U.S. treasuries are being bought pretty aggressively. That was probably the rotation out of Italian bonds. And financials were down 3.4%. They're down 3.65% year to date as interest rates have been flattening and the yield curve has been rolling over the wrong way for them. And the best, if you remember this, we talked about this, the best idea of 2018 when I asked all these different mutual fund reps that came into my office throughout the beginning of the year, said, what's your best idea? Every one of them said, EM. EM means emerging markets. EM and non-US. EM, non-US. I'm like, oh, really? Every single one of them.
That's funny because that's what they were talking about. These guys are like sheep. And of course, we've pointed this out before when all the markets move together up and down, no matter what they're consisting of it, when there's a big move. And this was being the same EM thing I've heard on CNBC over and over.
Yeah. They all play the same. They're all like penguins. You know, one jumps, they all jump.
Yeah.
They try to, you know, follow everybody around in the momentum. So the best idea of the years has become a problem because now the dollar has been rising. And the dollar is a big problem for emerging markets because what happens is as you see, let's say a 3% move in the dollar, it hurts them in a lot of ways. Even though the dollar is stronger and we can buy more product from them, it's a real problem for their economies. And it's a problem for ours in a way also, but it also takes down their markets by the percent change in the dollar. So if you have a 3 or 4% move on the dollar to the upside, their dollar, their markets are being priced in local currency and therefore they're getting down. They're moving down. So that was the best idea of 2018 was both EM and Europe. And Europe financials was another one.
So they're 3 for 3.
Yeah. So now back to what you talked about last week.
By the way, before you go on with what I talked about last week, did you write any of these things down so when they come back around again in a year, you can throw it in their face?
Yeah, I'm maybe less than a year. We have it. We have it all down.
Okay.
It wasn't that anybody had anything else other to say besides emerging markets.
Yeah. Weird.
So
anyway, what did I do?
So you had a stock pick on the game where we had talked about, you know, how poorly Deutsche Bank was doing. And there's obviously something going on there that's, you know, behind the scenes that's much uglier because it shouldn't be reacting as poorly as it was. So you picked it for the game. So there was some research put out today that showed that Deutsche Bank ADRs, which were originated back in 1996, the total return from that period since 1996, negative 65%.
Jeez.
Closing in an all-time low today.
Yeah.
So good for your pick, but obviously says something about the European banks.
Yeah, good for my pick.
But think about that for a second.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's at an all-time low. We're not talking about
People invest in banks because it's kind of stable.
Yeah, stable. You get dividends. You know, they're backed implicitly by, or at least somewhat, by the governments. You know, somebody said once that you know, when they come back and get reincarnated in life, they want to come back as a bank. No matter what happens, you kind of come back. But Deutsche Bank, which is this is also the bank of Germany.
Yes.
And Germany has been doing great ever since the EU came together. They're the biggest beneficiaries.
Yeah, well, it's the German Empire. That's what we like to call it.
Well, something's not right. It's got to be even a lot worse than this if you think about it. Because if they didn't have, can you imagine if they didn't have the EU come together and they didn't get all the benefit from all that? I mean, this is bad. They've also been the subject of so many, let's just say, bad actions.
Well, this seems to be permeating all the banking. I mean, this began with the crash in 2008, the financial crisis, when you had these various operations just go under. Bear Stearns is an example. And then we have the Wells Fargo situation where they're just scamming their own customers. It's like they've been taken over by, you know, people with a mobster mentality. It's very odd.
But I just wonder still how we're not talking about This is fascinating to me. We're not talking about the lows back to 2008. We're not talking about the lows for the last 5 years. We're talking about all-time lows, cutting below the levels they were in during the financial crisis. I mean, that's imagine if I said to you that Bank of America is back at a dollar. Or you know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that's beyond explanation of how poorly this bank is obviously run. And whatever else is going on inside of Europe, it's obviously not been fixed.
Yeah, I guess not.
And these, like I said, Credit Suisse, remember we shorted them for the game one time. I talked about how, you know, they just take an excessive amount of risk, it seems, over there without the commensurate, you know, returns. They're just reckless. That's what appears to me, at least.
Well, that's what it's the only explanation.
Yeah.
For their failures.
Yeah. So we have a big week for economic reports. Wednesday, we got GDP, the second estimate. Estimates coming in at about 2.3% is the consensus. The 8th, that's tomorrow. ADP employment change, 190,000 additions to the private payrolls is expected. The Fed Beige Book is coming out, which basically is a culmination of all the various Feds around the U.S., the regions. And they come in with, you know, things like comments about what's happening with their local economies. So you see things like, you know, growth is moderating and at pace, or, you know, the same words over and over again.
Yeah.
Thursday, we have personal income. Expectations are for 0.3% increase. Personal spending, 0.3% increase. Personal consumption expenditures, or PCE, which is the Fed's favorite measure of inflation. It's the personal consumption, like personal, what it costs for me to buy things. A little bit different than the CPI number. Expectations are for 0.2% month over month. We have initial claims coming in. Then Friday, the big payroll number. Non-farm payrolls at plus 190,000 after a little bit of a disappointing number last month. Unemployment rate is expected to stay at 3.9%. Then we get the ISM index, because it's a short week. It should have been out, I guess, at the beginning of the week or maybe early next week, but they kind of pushed it around a little bit. Expectations are for 58, which is still expansion. Construction spending up 1%. Then we get auto sales and truck sales. So there's a jam-packed 3 days coming.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to check this stuff out as it rolls in.
So this is what I was thinking about. We saw over the last couple of days that bonds were being bought pretty aggressively with the idea that first they want to be out of the Italian deal and maybe out of European bonds also, and they're rolling into U.S. bonds. And the thought that, well, maybe the Fed's not going to be as aggressive, because we saw that rather, you know, the inflation number came in a little bit tame, the PPI number came in not so bad. And the employment rate, even though it was at 3.9%, it was still at the same time 164,000, a little bit less than expected. So you put these all together and it's kind of not looking so great in terms of, we're not running a gangbusters. Running fine, but not a gangbusters.
And it seems to be, I think it's regional too.
It may be, and weather related, of course. And Now what I wonder if now everybody's buying into these bonds. If we have a significant amount of very strong numbers come out, if all of a sudden we're going to start to see bonds being sold off dramatically, or the other case is that there is a implicit knowledge that things are slowing down more than anticipated, and therefore they're getting ahead of the curve and buying the bonds. And even with the Italian thing set aside, they would have been buying bonds anyway, thinking the Fed's not going to move so fast.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, that's a rationale, but there's still the imminent bond collapse.
Yeah, but they're buying bonds. I mean, they pushed it.
Yeah, I know. And I don't see it's how imminent this bond collapse is. Not that imminent, but who knows?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there was definitely concern for about a month. And now they're coming off that concern again. Well, maybe the bond collapse. Hold on a second. Well, let's back up a little bit. Maybe the bond collapse isn't necessarily an all outright bond collapse everywhere to start. Maybe the Italian bond collapse, which is happening now, is the canary in the coal mine.
I can believe that.
Maybe it's going to roll, kind of going to start to roll and gain some speed and traction. All these negative interest rate areas and the bond vigilantes will start hitting all these bonds around, and the U.S. that still has, you know, reasonable rates, you know, not negative, will be the last hit. Keep on your toes. Salesforce, you know that company.
Yeah, there's a big building around it I can see from here.
Oh, you can?
Oh, yeah.
They're out with their earnings tonight. Company beat. Came in 74 cents versus 46 cents expectations on earnings per share. Pretty significant,
I'd say.
Yep. In the initial headline, there was a tidbit about deferred revenue. And all of a sudden, to talk about something like $25 million in deferred revenue, $23 million or something like that in constant currency-based accounting. So we're back to this again.
Oh, brother.
Yep. They started again. You know, as soon as the dollar starts moving up, you start looking at constant currency-based accounting. So we'll see how that's going to play out. You know, this is what, May now? We're almost in June. The dollar was a major tailwind for some time, and Now all of a sudden the dollar has reversed course very significantly. So we'll see if they're going to continue with that. I don't know. We'll see. Over the last couple of weeks, we saw some new Fed minutes and information come out from the Federal Reserve. And most Federal Reserve policymakers in the latest round in the minutes had thought that it's likely that another interest rate increase would be warranted very soon, probably in the June meeting, if the U.S. economic outlook remained intact and everything was good and everything's exciting, you know, that this is, we're going to see probably about a total of 4 policy rate increases in 2018. That's been kind of the play right now. You know, we see that the economy's doing all right, corporate earnings are doing okay, and, you know, the bond market is pricing it in already, so what the hell, we'll probably have about 4. Now, this is on last Wednesday, and they also had a change in the dynamic of what they had talked about, that they wanted the Fed rate statement to reflect that rates will be close to or above long-run estimates before too long, to make everybody think that, all right, we may raise a few times, but that's probably it. Yeah, we're not going to go too crazy here. Now, just a couple of days later, there was more Fed officials out talking about they're willing to let the economy run hot. They're willing to have inflation run hot. They're not really that worried about overshooting and hyperinflation. So, once again,
they've done a pretty good job of preventing hyperinflation, which was predicted by pretty much everyone from about 2007. And even before then, which never happened because we were in a tailspin downturn, it seems. And so it couldn't make inflation. I don't think they're going to make inflation this time. I don't think they can do it. Let it run hot.
It's still a phenomenon that's really unbelievable, which probably has a lot to do with tech and the ability to price shop. I mean, listen, back in the old days, my friend, when you went to buy something, you either had to schlep to several different stores or you went to Sears and just bought it. And whatever the price was the price. You weren't going to go 35 or 40 minutes to go buy the same product somewhere else for, you know, saving $3, right?
Exactly.
But today, even though now everybody just clicks on Amazon without knowledge of what the best price is, that's kind of creeping into the process. The fact is that there is the opportunity to price shop. I mean, I was buying some parts for my refrigerator. I have a 4-year-old refrigerator that this is the third drawer that has broken.
What is the brand?
Whirlpool. Awful. Terrible.
And that's considered one of the best American-made refrigerators outside of the good ones like Viking or the one if you can get a, what's the other one?
Those big side-by-side ones, the Sub-Zeros.
Sub-Zero, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, the third drawer, this is 2 of them broke at once. This is made out of crappy plastic. Terrible.
What are you putting in them?
I actually put my workout weights in there. They keep them cold for the morning. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I put large apples.
Yeah, and they're breaking. That's I'm stunned.
I don't know. I put apples in the bottom drawer and fruits and stuff like that. In the middle drawer, I put things like vegetables that I don't want to freeze, and you have the humidifier thing, so it keeps it good. And in the small drawer, I keep like cold cuts. But I guess I have to, over time, the front part of it breaks off of the corners because they're all plastic fittings into the grooves. There's not like metal holding it. It's just a plastic on plastic.
Yeah, it sounds like a junk.
Crap. Total crap. So I wrote him today.
What are you going to do? You can't buy anything else unless you get a Sub-Zero, which cost a fortune.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a better, an upgraded variety of the Whirlpool, but it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And they're not cheap, these refrigerators either. The best one I have is a GE that's in my garage. That thing takes a beating. Never a problem. Makes ice faster than any ice machine I've ever seen. Just keeps on running. The old ones are the best.
Why don't you just swap them out?
I should. Yeah, it's ugly though. But yeah, I could. In China, profit earned by Chinese industrial firms rose at their fastest pace in 6 months. Data from the National Bureau of Statistics showed this week factories benefited from higher prices and strong demand. Profits rose 21% year over year to $90 billion, the quickest since October. bringing gains for the first 4 months of 2018 to 15% gains over last year. That's pretty impressive.
No kidding.
I mean, we're here looking at, all right, 3%, that's a good number. 0.5% increase in retail sales, that's great. So their profits rose 21%. Now, in all fairness, the profits on corporate America, because of some of the tax benefits, were up also 20% year over year. But how do you raise profits if you don't raise prices? And if you don't raise prices, and if you are raising prices to get profits, how come you don't have inflation?
Productivity.
So you think that maybe the automation is helping?
Maybe. Something's up, or just the general engineering. I'm not sure.
So here's the scenario. Let me lay this out to you. We have automation that is creating higher productivity, but yet at the same time with all this automation, we have an unemployment rate that's at 3.9% and about 200,000 people being added to the payrolls each and every month.
Yeah, which of course, you know, you're talking to someone who thinks those numbers are bogus. So, but right. Continue.
On top of that, we have record profits that are growing at 20% per year, but yet due to the fact that they're selling more and higher prices, but yet we don't have inflation. This is all fucked up. I mean, some of this does not make any sense. It's just simple addition, a little multiplication too, maybe. But it's fuzzy. A little fuzzy.
Yeah, they lie about inflation. We have inflation.
Right.
I think $4 a gallon for gasoline, I mean.
Transient.
Inflated to be.
You say that and the Fed says transient. Transient.
Yeah, I know. I know how they rejiggered the whole thing. So, no, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Because that gets made up for in other ways. That number. Otherwise, you're double calculating the number if you count gasoline price.
Right. Can't do that. Got to take out the things that are increasing in price.
Right. Yeah, those are done. Get those out of here.
More hacking. This is in your wheelhouse. You probably talked about this on No Agenda, by the way, which you can listen to every Thursday and Sunday with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry. You can listen on the No Agenda radio stream, the live stream, and or you can get it at your favorite podcast place.
NoAgendaStream.com for the stream.
Also
on Roku.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's new, right?
No, not really. Some guy set that up and he keeps maintaining it, one of our producers.
That's good. The FBI warned on Friday that Russian computer hackers have compromised hundreds of thousands of home and office routers and can collect information on the user. And they're saying you need to do something about this because the networks can be shut down. So the fix, I don't understand this fix. Here's the fix. It's very complicated. Get your pens and pencils ready. Turn your router off and turn it back on. Seriously? Does that make any sense?
Apparently that's the fix.
That's the fix. Turn your router off and turn it back on. Seems to me that would be the way that somehow the hackers would initiate whatever they're doing.
Well, it appears to be some sort of transient code that lives in like volatile memory. It's the only thing I can think of. And then if you reboot the router, just throws it out. How it got in there in the first place, I think, is something that needs to be addressed.
Infections were detected in more than 50 countries. The primary target for further actions was probably the Ukraine, because everybody wants to hack the Ukraine. Why is it?
Generally speaking, it's the Ukraine who does the hacking.
So probably, I would think, this is what I'm thinking. Let's think of this upside down. We're trying to get the Ukraine and hack the Ukraine. So therefore, somebody put something into all of these various modems and routers that would allow for those, once restarted, to go and somehow whack the Ukraine.
Yeah, it seems far-fetched.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Recession. Recession. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
There's a nearly 1-in-3 chance of a U.S. recession in the next 2 years, according to a Reuters poll.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about this, what cracks me up about this story, is that you can't poll for something like this.
Right. Well, they can, but it's meaningless.
I mean, yeah, you can, but it's like the likelihood of it being even remotely accurate. Otherwise, why don't you just poll for the price of stocks? You know, it just makes no sense. It's not reliable. It's just one of these, it's padding stories. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and what they're going to do is, if we don't get that, let's say another quarter goes by, They'll change it. So the point of the poll is it's not a permanent poll. It's a moving discussion. There was over 100 economists that took this poll between May 16th and 24th. And economic growth was forecast to average 2.8% in 2018, the fastest pace in 3 years. They're wrong on that already. Fueled by the biggest tax overhaul since 1980s. So they're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong. There you go. Here's a kind of feel-good story. Two of them. Now, during the Vietnamese War, or as they call it in Vietnam, the American War. You know that, right?
I don't know that. I've been there and I never noticed anybody.
I talked to people. I'm like, oh, so talk to me about, during the Vietnam War. No, the American War. That's what they call it. That's what they call it there. I'm like, okay. Sounds reasonable, by the way. You know, about 5,000 dogs served in Vietnam as either guard dogs or scouts. And when the soldiers finished their tours, another handler was usually assigned the dogs that were already in Vietnam. So after the war ended and troops came back and returned home, the dogs were deemed to be excess equipment and left behind. Many of them were euthanized. Some were given to Vietnamese army and some were left to fend for themselves. Finally, there's a memorial statue for them. We have in Wisconsin, the memorial features a soldier holding an M1 rifle and the dog's harness. The life-size bronze sculpture of a German Shepherd, which is the most common breed that served in Vietnam, is now available for you to go check out if you're a dog lover. And finally, the dog is getting their day.
Every dog has his day.
Yep. And did you see the tweet with the picture of the shirt from show 400? It was encased.
Yeah, the Chris Bead tweet.
Yeah, and it was he had it encased. It's I guess in an office or something. He probably pulled out that. You know what that? I just thought of it. It's probably in his office where that sign that goes that tells you about your rights as an employee. You know what I'm talking about? and you know what I mean about. You know,
yeah, they all have them. Yeah. Every office has one.
That looks like the encasing. He probably pulled that out and put, because it's big.
It does, but you can. I bought one of those those things you can buy from Amazon and elsewhere, and you use them usually to put in. That's what actually what he's using it for is what they're used for. You put in team jerseys or Michael Jordan, jacket or whatever, the basketball stuff.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it's there's a light.
Yeah, it looks terrific.
It's like a museum piece. It's got a light shining above it onto the shirt itself. It's got the packaging, which you had done very nicely. That beautiful. Yeah,
my daughter Jay did the packaging.
Right. Actually, Chris is in the chat room. Chris, is it the one from Amazon or is it the place where you would have that poster for either for choking victims? the Heimlich, what somebody's doing, or is that the sign for employees' rights? Oh, it has a motion sensing. Oh, so it's a quartlet chalk corkboard, and it has a motion sensing light.
That's neat.
Is the motion sensing light for security purposes in the event that somebody is going to steal it? That would be that'd be smart.
Yeah.
Anyway, it looks great.
Alarm that sucker.
It looks great. It does. It looks great. Anyway, you got to check out that link. I retweeted that. So it's on there. What it looks like. I'm showing 400. By the way, if you're interested in getting your. Yeah, it is for the worker stuff. That's what he said. I love it. Anyway, if you want a shirt, we have a special offer. Aside from winning it on the game, you can get a shirt by a donation to the show in the amount of the show number. We're now on show number 409. So if you go over and click the donate button because you just love the show and you love us so much, and we're getting a lot of people that really enjoy the opportunity to get this collector's item, et cetera. Well, we'll sign it, John and I, and we'll send it in a beautifully wrapped package. And you can get that by just simply donating the number of the show, and we'll send it right to make sure to send me your shirt size, or if you're going to, I guess, frame it, maybe a large or an extra large. So you could do that. Or you could donate any amount of money to the show. It helps us defray the cost of all the things with the servers and the cost of us doing things and, all the money that goes into the development and just everything that goes on. So, yep. Appreciate it very much. Very helpful. Don't you think, John?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you haven't donated before, maybe just, this is the time to do so and get that shirt. We have a Fred Limerick submission, just one. I was head deep in a, just a pile of work.
By the way, as an added bonus for these guys who buy the shirt.
Yeah.
On Twitter, I follow them now.
Ooh. I'll do the same. I'll double up. Yeah. Yep. That's what you do.
There you go.
You get two more followers and, you know, that helps. And that means that you can get retweets and stuff and get even more followers. All right. Fed limericks. Let's see here. I got one submission from Simon Davies. He's on a roll, this guy. So let me kind of
got the A the last time.
He did, in fact. So here it goes. Okay, here we go. All right, let me start again. The 3-year has just gone above 3, and investors are starting to see that market's in trouble and we are in a bubble while Powell shouts, relax and trust me.
Well, you botched the read on the third line.
Yeah.
But it's very well balanced. Well, Powell shouts, relax and trust me, I think is weak. It doesn't. I mean, the whole limerick is great, but it's only going to get him a B+.
I think that he could have used conjunctions. That was one of the issues there. Fourth line, and we're in a bubble. Not we are in a bubble. The market's in trouble.
Well, the market's in trouble, and we are in a bubble.
We're in a bubble.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that dropped him to a B.
Oh, so going down. That's
any other criticisms?
No, it was more of a helpful hand on it, but sorry about that.
Yeah, we're in a bubble. Yeah, that's what it should have been.
Yep. The 3 years just gone above 3.
Investors and the relax and trust me doesn't, to me, really have the kind of punch rhyme of, you know, it's supposed to rhyme with C in 3. It doesn't punch it. It's not punch. I think the last line could have been improved. I don't know how. I'm not going to recommend it, but it was good. It was better than most.
Yep. We're announcing the winner of the DH Unplugged Closest to the Pin competition for Baidu. Now, this was a pretty wild moving stock. This was all over the place. It was above for a while where we had the average, and it was below, all over the place. And getting anywhere close to this is pretty impressive feat. The average price per entry was $271.31.
Yeah.
So our peeps were way off, way high. The final stock price was $243.80. You were 8% off at $263.50, which was pretty amazing in the fact that I think it dropped like, I don't know, like 15% during the time and came back a bit, then finished down a bit the last day. I was at $255.35, about 4.75% off. Ryan B. is the winner. Announcing Ryan B. as the winner. Came in at $244.39, only about a 59 cents off of that number.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive, right?
No kidding.
Yep. And then he was 0.24% off. And Leonard B. was the runner-up at $246.22, about 1% off. So we're going to send him a T-shirt. We're going to send Ryan. Him a one-of-a-kind. Yep, Ryan. We're going to send him a one-of-a-kind DH Unplugged winner's certificate, which is also suitable for framing. And we'll have another one soon. Make sure to follow myself, Andrew Horowitz, and John at The Real Dvorak. And you get those announcements of when that next close to the pin is happening. Do you have a particular stock that you'd like to put in for the next one that we can get going?
Have we done Tesla?
I think so. Pretty sure.
Because I'm looking at Tesla. But let me look at my list of things I'm following.
I mean, some of the Dow stocks we've done like 3M, we've done the JP Morgan.
Do you want to do one of the Googles?
We could do Google. I don't know if we've done
one of the many Googles. There's too many of them. I mean, but it's a roller coaster. I'm looking at GOOG, which goes up and down and up and down. I mean, it would be fun because no one quite, you know, it's.
We could do Google.
Alphabet Inc., in other words.
I think we've done that, but it's okay to do it again. We'll put Google.
No, I don't want to do anything again.
Oh.
I don't remember doing it, but.
I'm trying to think of an obscure name, like some kind of. Well, we've done the financials. We've done. How about like we have never done like the New York Times, the failing New York Times, that is. The New York Times, Winnebago.
Something obscure. Here's one that's kind of another that stock. The chart is kind of interesting. It's actually coming into it may be looking like it's going to break out up or down.
Mm.
If you look at the chart, this is American Tower Corporation, which is a REIT. I think they're involved with cell phone towers.
Yep, that's what they are. They had the problem
and other stuff.
They were moving a lot because the Sprint and T-Mobile merger.
Right.
The concern. Yeah. So we'll put that AMT will be on the next one.
Yeah. I think that'd be. And if you look at the chart, it really is lending itself to a breakout up or down.
All right. We'll get it going. So take a watch. The Asian Plugged and also on our Twitter accounts. All right. Hurricane season just getting started. We had a pretty bad stretch of weather here for the last week or so. So I was thinking about that and what companies may benefit.
Ah.
Because we do see, you know, as, for example, well, depending on where it goes, you know, see the hurricane news and all that, and it's going to hit the Gulf region and oil starts skyrocketing, or you see that, you know, it's going to be in this area that natural gas starts moving and, you know. So I got a list of a few names that I was thinking about. For example, Home Depot. Get some bad hurricanes, Home Depot does well.
Oh, yeah, Home Depot always does very well.
And Lowe's. Hertz, Avis, you know, people kind of get their cars.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, obviously.
Some of the hotels. And of course, the one that I will personally be investing in. And
Florida hotels.
Yeah, and I don't want to give this away. One that I'll be investing in personally and for clients, but also probably for the game, which I'll get to in a little while, is Generac. It's the generator company.
Yeah, they make generators.
Yep.
What about Honda and all these other guys that compete with them?
Well, Generac only makes generators.
Okay.
As opposed to Honda, which also makes cars.
Yeah, they make everything.
And they make all sorts of like.
So are the Generac generators any good? Do you know about
this? Yeah, they do. We do. Because that's when
you have one?
I do not have one. I always go bare and just hope for the best.
You said there's a new CEO. What's the deal?
I don't know about a new CEO. Who said that?
Oh, I thought you said something like that.
Nope. No, they're a good company. They have a whole house generator where you just flick a switch and it just takes over.
How much does that cost?
Installed is just like 18,000.
Whole house.
Yeah.
Wow.
And because the big thing is besides the installation, they have to do a whole reroute of the main panel. So you got the generator and if you have, like I have natural gas at my house, you hook it up right to natural gas, assuming that the natural gas keeps running through a major hurricane, but it usually does. And
so the natural gas is good. So it's a natural gas powered generator.
You could do that. You could do propane.
You could do gasoline.
Yes. I don't know if the whole house, I guess the whole house would be gasoline. Yeah, except to keep filling it.
How about a jet turbo?
I've not heard of that one.
You know, they use them on the big solar hospitals.
There are solar with, you know, Tesla has those under their solar company. They have those battery packs that are charged by the solar. All right, crypto.
I like the idea.
Let's talk about crypto for a second. Things are all over the place. I don't know if you've been watching, but...
I pay very little attention to the crypto thing. I already missed out. When you missed the boat when it was at 50 cents or a buck, and now it's $8,000 or whatever it is, it's just like, well, what's the point of following it? You're not going to be able to play it at the top.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. You don't have an issue then. Because there is a thing now. A thing. Crypto addiction.
No.
A Scottish hospital is treating people who are addicted to trading cryptocurrencies in the UK's first ever crypto clinic.
How's this different than trading stocks?
It's 24/7, I guess. And it is a little bit, I could see how crypto can be, it's a little bit, I can't explain it. It's definitely, well, I think that during the heyday back in the 1999, 2000s, it probably was the same thing, but this is 24/7. I guess the difference is if you trade stocks and you're addicted, at least you get to shut down at like 5 or 6 o'clock. So you have no choice. It's like if you smoke cigarettes and somebody takes away your cigarettes every night at 5 o'clock and they'll give them back to you at 9, at least you have that time that you're not smoking. Whereas with this.
So this is basically a gambling addiction.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So the Crane Castle. The Castle Craig Hospitals in Peeblesshire, the Scottish borders, has created a course of residential treatment for those deemed to be crypto addicts. Experts told the Evening Standard that crypto trading can become a form of behavioral addiction with traders obsessively glued to minute-by-minute market fluctuations. The devised treatment program is therefore closer to an existing method for treating gambling addictions rather than substance abuse programs. There you go. Canada's Bombardier, I just like saying that, Bombardier, on Sunday night announced that there's two new longer-range variants of its existing large-cabin global business jets. The Global 5500 and the 6500 are expected to offer 13% improved fuel burn and longer range compared to what the plane and train maker's existing 500 and 6,000 aircraft. That's kind of good. There's new wings, interiors, Rolls-Royce engines, and other upgrades.
Have they put any of these in service?
Not yet.
I'm always worried about this sort of thing, or in so far as an investment's concerned, early on, because I think it was PSA when they were still in business. They had they spec'd out this crazy jet that was supposed to it had the overhead wings, and there's supposed to be these two new jets. I think they're Pratt and Whitney, and they could never make the jets work. So the plane was finally released, but it had to have four jets, little jets, on it, and it never was a cost effective jet. So it's better to wait till if the plane actually comes out and sells a few.
Yeah, before you get into it. Yep. Two new quick stories. An accident at a crematorium sent human remains in the air. I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm sorry. An accident at a crematorium sent human remains in the air.
An accident would cause this.
Well, it was in National City, California last week. Fire officials were called to the scene of the Cortez Family Crematorium in San Diego. The report from KGTV said that National City Fire Captain Brian Krebs said the furnace was in use and the oven door was not shut, sending smoke and obviously remains out the chimney and the open doors of the building.
Out the open doors.
Just blasting dander.
Ashes, yeah.
Dander. And then, of course, the other story of the evening that which we have to mention is that the ABC announced today, Disney announced that it would cancel the hit sitcom Roseanne, following abhorrid comments from the show's star.
After one season.
Well, not even a full season.
No, they did. I thought they finished the season.
Did they?
I think so, yeah.
This was pretty terrible. I mean,
it's a short season.
Roseanne said something about compared former Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett to an ape. That's what's being said. She said exactly in her tweet, something to the effect of, in a since-deleted tweet, Barr said of Jarrett, Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ. Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah.
She apologized, and she wrote, I apologize to Valerie Jarrett and all Americans. I'm truly sorry for making a bad joke about her politics and her looks. I should have known better. Forgive me. My joke was in bad taste. And then there was a follow-up. She said something to Chelsea Clinton to the effect like, oh, you're married to George Soros or something like that, or Soros' kid or something, or in the Soros family. And then Clinton then replied, no, I'm not, this and that. She said, yeah, but Soros is a Nazi and this and that. I mean, just, I don't know what she's doing, but she's got to stop taking whatever she's taking.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, she's doing it late night and some weird crap going on.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Very bad.
So they canceled the show, and that was the end of that.
That's the end of it. So the big question of the night, of course, is what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine?
To be honest about it, it was a holiday yesterday, and I haven't written the column yet.
Oh.
So but what I think it's going to be about is going to be, I believe it will be about Microsoft, the Armageddon of the operating system Armageddon, which is going to discuss what happens, because Microsoft did that April update on the Windows 10, mm-hmm. and it crashed a lot of machines and made them unusable. What happens when Microsoft somehow does one of these updates that they force it on everybody and all the machines go not just blank or unbootable, but just dead, bricks? What when they brick the entire infrastructure of the United States? That would be kind of an interesting situation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm going to discuss the possibilities of that.
Well, let's take a look at the stocks. It's a game that we play each and every week. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It is nothing more than just a game that we play, ideas that we come up with, and we track them, and we see how they do. If for whatever reason you decide, that you want to maybe follow along, do yourself a favor, do us a favor, get professional financial advice, do your research. We are not responsible for any of the decisions that we make here. And we're not, again, recommending this. So you have to seek good financial advice. I missed something there. Oh, I know. Horowitz Company and John C. Dvorak and myself may own any of the securities we mentioned. We will mention that in the notes, the disclosure. You can follow all these on DH Unplugged under the weekly stock picks, where we have an active and live trading system that kind of looks at what it's worth, how much it's gained or lost. And we have a usual 10% stop out on them. So that will all be tracked on that site over at DH Unplugged. Why don't you take the list?
Well, we got a few things that are looking good. Not there's very little in there. We have one thing kicked off. Is it kicked off? No. Oh, no, it's the new one.
Yep.
Facebook's way up 22%.
That's unbelievable.
That's the one that we did the back and forth with.
We made on both sides, but that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think so. Facebook's a long-term winner. Let's face reality. We have to get on the boat, on the bandwagon. Looks like my Alliance MMA is starting to move up. It's down 12%, but has a huge 30-cent. It's a penny stock. So
you know that was up to about a buck last week?
Was it now?
Yes, it was. Something happened one day. I'm looking. I'm like, what in the world? My whole system went wonky on that, by the way. Something it just didn't like that it was up so much. It was honestly, it was up probably like 125% one day. Then it came down.
Jeez. Yep. I should have put a stop win on that thing.
Yep.
Who knew? It's Tesla is a short, Andrew's short, or is it my short? It's your
that's
short.
Me. Yep, that's me.
Bad mojo, you say, and it's down. I think Tesla is, I would short it now and start making money. Mm-hmm. I think Tesla's a good short.
Yep.
Now.
Now. I agree. It's 283. It kind of get a little bit of legs today, but.
Yeah, it went up a little bit. Yeah. It went up a little bit. I have a some speculation here. The Russian tripler is up 15%, and the one-time Russian ETF is up 5%. And mm-hmm. so I put these two together so I can see if the tripler was actually a tripler.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it is.
Yeah, it should be more up like 16 and point what, 2?
Yeah, it should be. You're right. It should be more than 15.1.
A little rounding error.
But just if you round numbers, maybe. Biotechny, a Lark pick for me, is down 3%, so that's a loser. Biogen, insider trading, up 5%, which makes sense. And then a short for Deutsche Bank. What's your stocks on here?
Mine were kicked off for the last few weeks. Remember, I was away and I didn't put any on.
I got up 12% on my Deutsche Bank short. I should have actually gone and shorted that, but probably still a good short.
Yeah, it's pretty low, but yeah. It's looking
Eagle Point. Yeah, it is pretty low. It's probably a good long. Eagle Point Credit Company. This is the dead money right now. There's nothing going on there. And then we have one new pick from you, which is Generac.
Yep. I'm going to put that on the list, which is the hurricane season special.
I haven't got anything. I was looking for something to pick just to throw on there, but none of these things I don't like.
Well, right now, there's like a 5-to-1 ratio of yours versus mine.
Yeah, I got too much on there. So I'll let it slide this week. You should put a couple more on there.
Well, you know, it's interesting that actually we have both sides of the trades once again. We have the shorts and the longs, and things are going well. But the one thing I have to question about is on this AMMA, this Alliance MMA, let's say, I mean, this will be fine, but let's say it goes to $3. I'm just saying it goes to $3, right? Yeah. You're not going to stop out back till it's 30 cents again. So you're guaranteeing yourself either a massive win forever or a loss.
It'll be on the list forever if it ever moves up to a dollar.
Or it's going to be.
So what you're doing is questioning the strategy for the game's purposes of having a fixed dollar amount to kick it off when we should go back to the percentage.
Or
that's what you're condemning me for this.
Or
for
take
this
a range, maybe
trick.
Maybe say if it's worth. Trick. Yeah, maybe say it's worth. You know, maybe at $2, I'll take profit.
If it goes to $2, I'd sell. Yeah.
So are we gonna look at that $2? We're gonna put that in. Let's see. Put price. Let's see. $30 stop. $2 sell. 30 cent stop or $2 sell. Right.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Then that would get me off the hook.
That'd be a five bagger.
No one's hit a five bagger on this game yet that I know of.
No. Because if you did, it would probably just get cracked out. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the problem is it did a little whiplash in there in the process of making a five bagger. It's never going to just go straight up unless something crazy happened.
Yeah. Yep. 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 All right, we're going to end it there. Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to say? Anything you want to do?
No, I don't think so. I think we're good to go.
All right. So I'll just remind you again, you got no agenda on Thursdays and Sundays. Follow John on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. You follow me on Instagram now. I have a new Instagram account. Did I tell you about this?
Oh, yeah?
Dad Bod Food Blog.
Just for your photos?
Just for my food photos.
Oh, God.
Dad Bod Food Blog.
Dad Bog?
Bod. Like Dad Bod. My Dad Bod.
Dad Bod?
You ever hear of a Dad Bod?
I've heard of grandma pants. Is it something like that?
Well, it seems that it was a thing that was in for a while. Young people that had like a little bit of a pouch, you know, boys that had a pouch. The girls were very attracted to that for a while. Then they called it a dad bod.
Oh God.
The dad bod look. So I kind of have my dad and I have the dad bod. So it's a dad bod food blog. And I post a lot of pictures in there. I had some great clams this weekend. Some great pictures of that. I had some wonderful monkfish with a blackened shrimp and a piece of speck on a bed of red roasted peppers.
You didn't cook that. Where'd you get that?
That was one of my Foodie Freaks events that I do down here. I have a mystery dining. I cooked the turkey legs. I did that. The Bloody Marys with the shrimp and bacon in it. I did that. A lot of the stuff I cook. I have a new batch of brandies I made.
You mean you bought brandies and soaked fruit in them?
Well, I bought Everclear.
Oh, Everclear. Okay.
And I soaked fruit.
You ever back it off a little bit? Because it seems like it's a little bit.
Yeah, it's 150 proof. I always thought it was 180, but it's 150 proof.
Used to be a 180. You could used to be able to get a 180.
Yeah. So I got the 150s and I put the fruit in, some different things in different ones, but a little bit of sugar or a bunch of sugar. And the fruit and some cinnamon, maybe some orange peel or some lemon peel, depending on which one I want to do.
So you're getting fancy.
Yeah. So I did figs this time. Fig brandy. I did black plum, blackberry, black and red plum, red plum.
And how much drinking do you have to do to keep up with this production of yours?
So the last time.
You better be giving this stuff away.
The last time I made 3 pints. That's all I made. This time I made 6 quarts.
All right. Well, send me one.
I'm going to send you one. You want one? I'll send you one.
Yeah. Send me the best.
Okay, we'll do. All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.